Welcome back to Three Black Dots with Dr. Tiffany, Dr. Karen, and Dr. Z.
I was just going to transition because, you know, I told you how bad my week was.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had grits in a long time, but I've had a taste for grits this whole week.
Bacon and grits. Every weekend.
Bacon. Well, this is before work. Like, I'm cooking grits in the morning with my bacon. And so my son chastised me the other morning because, okay, so I need to make my grits. I'm making my grits, but I'm on a time crunch because, you know, I didn't wake up on time.
Right.
But I still need to get my grits and I need to get my kids out the house and I, you know, all the stuff I had to do. So, you know, they're being kids and maybe perhaps I was fussing a lot. Perhaps. And so my daughter calls me and I'm like, what? What do you want? And he says, Mom, she's just asking a question.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, whatever you need to say, you should say it with a smile. And he said, speak with a smile. And I was like, you know what?
Nah. Uh-uh.
And I was like, you speak with a smile, first of all.
Exactly. Don't tell me to smile.
Like, see, don't tell me to speak with a smile. I was like, this is where the misogynistic stuff that's coming
exactly
up.
Exactly. You need to go back to bed.
Mm-hmm. That's where it starts.
About, say it with a smile. And he don't say stuff with a smile.
Right. Did you point that out to him?
I was like, you don't smile. So then I was like, well, goodness, am I fussing too much? It got me on questioning myself, and I don't like that little kids.
Big kids do it too.
I tell Benji that Benji does that too. You
does
don't
he
look
say
happy.
That?
Yeah, you need. I said I'm not gonna be happy all the time.
What's up with these men?
You see how it starts?
But it does. I see the little male traits.
Oh, it starts early, and if these moms don't nip that in the bud, I see how this happens because Benji does the same thing. Oh, you don't look happy right now. Why can't you be happy all the time? I said, why can't you listen?
Right. Because they can't
follow the rules. I said, and plus I'm a human. Humans are not happy all the time. Are you happy all the time? He's like, no. I'm like, so.
But isn't it strange to have the little boys get their little treats?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they will try to have you coming and going. I mean, it's like I was telling somebody one day, it's like they have a low jack on me. If I move, they're like, mommy, do this, do that. And I said, uh-uh. I'm a person. I'm not here just to wait on you hand and foot. Let me eat.
Do they do that to Derek?
No! No!
See, I don't understand that.
It would, and on an off day, if he gets it for like 20 minutes or something, he's like, oh. Yo, I was like, dude, this is my life 24/7. And I do mean 24/7 because they crawl on me at night in the bed.
Do they still come in the middle of the night?
Sometimes, yes. Because it's not till I wake up that they're both underneath me. And I'm like, what? Yes.
You sleep hard.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. When I finally do get to sleep, yeah.
Speaking of sleep, I was listening to NPR, and
you're such a nerd.
I
we are such nerds.
I know it, and I was so excited when I heard this. I know it's lame. As soon as I said it,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Nerd-Z. I'm sorry, guys. I've always been lame. I think I
Me
came
too.
Out of the womb
Me too.
Lame.
Me too.
So they were talking about insomnia. And this lady who is, she didn't call herself a sleep expert, but she's like, you know, you need to give yourself some grace. So basically what she was saying is that a lot of people wake up between the hours of 1 and 3, 2 and 4, something like that. And they feel bad about it. They call themselves insomniacs. But she says in the evolutionary life cycle, people had to wake up between those hours to stand watch, like to make sure everybody else wouldn't get killed.
Oh, Interesting. Oh, like
Watchmen. And she said the only thing is that we think we're insomniacs because we're on this like 8-hour work schedule. And she was like, that's not natural. Like people mm-hmm. used to be able to take naps and things during the day, and you truly may not be an insomniac. It may just be how you're wired.
So I'm going to require.
Fascinating.
I'm going to get a big fat sofa in my office so I can take naps. I am a napper.
But it is. But I mean, I wake up. I mean, unless I am dead dog tired, I usually wake up. I'm usually up around 3 a.m. It may not really? Be for a long time, but sometimes I go through periods, months at a time, where I may wake up for an hour and then I'll read, you know, my little articles that I like to read and go back to bed.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? Make sure you rate and subscribe. Three Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you hear about the ethical AI ethical director at Google? The black woman who was fired for calling out Google because of their AI technology. She said that it was racist and that it was unethical, and she was supposed to have a paper published, and Google censored her. And before you know it, she ended up getting fired. Let me look her up.
I just looked her up. She looks nice afro and she looks young.
Yeah. She's very accomplished.
Timit?
Yes.
Gebru or Jebru.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but absolutely. And I mean, the fact that the ethical person for AI was fired is disturbing. But with the fake news, the level of medical distrust is the highest that I have ever seen it. I spend so much time trying to convince people, and I'm not saying like really hard things, that this is, you know, just very easy, very simple, non-controversial treatments, management. I mean, this is to the point that I'll give you just a generic example. Say you have breast cancer and it's, you know, just in one spot in the breast. You think you can forego surgery? Like this is the level of misinformation that you have to try to combat. And it's so difficult because I don't know how we get this trust back. And it's not just, you know, I know that we've talked a lot about iatrophobia and you know, what the medical profession has done to make black people not have trust in them, in us. Like, there's a lot that's been done, so we understand that. But there is just a lot of mistrust. And I really don't know how we get it back. And I'm also concerned that we're so far behind everyone else on the internet. We can't keep up. I don't think we can get information out fast enough. And I mean, an easier example has to do with the mask, right? The fact that we have to fight with people about why you should wear a mask, or is COVID truly a virus?
That's because all of is it the misinformation real? That was straight up misinformation that was handed out. And that
but this is happening with
there was
cancer.
Intentional politicization of mask wearing.
Right. I hear you, but you know, I think of the specialties in cancer, there are places popping up. There are people offering, you know, alternative treatments where there's no basis in fact.
Well, but that's always been, you know, the last 10 years or so.
It's been there for the last 10 years, but every year it seems worse.
Yeah, well, it's getting worse for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think part of that is because of the internet. There's more information out there for Dr. Right. Google and people looking up all that stuff. And we've even seen on Three Black Docs where people have been posting crazy stuff to the point where I feel like we need to delete that because I right. don't want our website hosting any of that craziness. First of all, there are so many issues related to access to care, which drives mm-hmm. me up the wall, literally just based on things that are inane. And again, there's intentionality about who has access, and I can't stand that. And then when I look at the quality of care and how there are institutions that puff themselves up thinking that they are so much better than everyone else, but you can't do anything about it because people are like, I'm going to this right. place because it's the best. And yeah, I'm right. just like, that yeah. might not be the case.
And it's them. Funny you're talking about this now because just today I was in the car and I was listening to satellite radio. Channel I was on, there's some cancer center that always has a commercial on it, and it's actually one that I don't know. It's not like an academic place,
something
or
like
it's
Cancer
like
Centers of America.
No, it's not anything you would know, but it's somebody's practice. And they were like, but the commercial makes it seem like if you go there you have a much better shot at surviving than anywhere else. You know, and it's like, how is this legal? I mean, how can you make claims on a commercial to people who have the worst diagnosis, have a cancer diagnosis, so they're scared, you know, they don't know which way to go, where to turn, you know, and they're scared. And you're putting out a commercial that's saying that if you don't come here, you might not have the best chance to survive. You know, and I was driving in my car thinking, I can't believe they can play this on the radio. This
However,
is so misleading.
However, if they were a comprehensive you know? Cancer center, there is some data that suggests
But it
that.
Wasn't. That's what I'm saying. I don't, this wasn't any place that I know, you know, that fits that criteria.
So it's like Joe Smo's oncology shop.
Right. And I'm like, huh?
In the garage.
And we'll change your oil, too.
Right. And there's a Subway in the back.
And I'm listening to this as an oncologist, so I know better. But if you're not, how do you know? You know, you don't. And it's just like, man, right. why is you this don't, okay?
Into the practice of medicine, it is so hard to get medications approved. Many of the oral medications, the medications that you take by mouth, you almost have to sell your firstborn to pay the copays associated with them. And then we got an email this week that they are trying to cut Medicare funding for cancer treatment. And if that bill goes through, I don't know how many places will be able to cover these patients.
Especially since Medicare only covers a fraction of the cost anyway.
There is already not enough.
Well, in my opinion, I think that's right. what is showing yeah. some of the inadequacies of our healthcare system in general. Medicare, some of the best plans only yeah. cover 80%. So how do you recover 80% of a cancer diagnosis?
Right. Right, when some of the pills cost $10,000 a month.
And how does that even make sense in this country where pharmaceutical companies making billions yeah. and billions of dollars off of a drug that's been existing for a long time, and they just keep jacking up the price? That's problematic. So I do think, you know, my hope is that there will be a refresh of the healthcare system. And my hope is, especially after COVID, I don't know how we can keep going like this. I don't think it's sustainable.
Right. And Karen, too yeah. many good people are leaving.
Yes, exactly.
They're leaving, so you can't replace us. It takes 10 years to replace us.
At least. And then forget about the experience. Right. I mean, people are just not being trained the same way they used to be. And so you lose all of that experience. I could tell you, I have colleagues of mine, friends of mine, who are literally on the front line. Like, literally. I'm not. Z, I know you see patients daily and you putting your life at risk. And even when I was practicing and in the clinic daily, I wasn't one of those, like my friends who are frontline in the emergency rooms or in the ICUs getting their butts kicked, seeing 30 or 40 COVID positive patients. And man, I just don't know how they do it.
You really underestimate the mental health toll that it can take.
And I think that's the other challenge to your point when you're talking about mistrust. It's not even just medical mistrust. It's the lack of respect for the profession. I mean, we're no longer seen as trusted advisors. There are people who are literally like, I am not the checkout person at the grocery store. Like you said, it's not easy to replace an oncologist. And it just isn't. It's not easy. And we know that there's a lack of providers. We are so under-resourced from an oncology standpoint. The fact that we are doing better from a cancer perspective means that there are more people living and there are greater and greater percentages of individuals who are diagnosed. So as the rate of cancer increases, the incidence and prevalence of cancer increases, the number of oncologists remain stable, which is not good.
Right. And I mean, what is it, like 10 to 20% of the workforce will retire in the next 5 to 10 years?
Look, some of them should have retired.
They should have retired a long time ago. Lord help them. Yeah.
They keep getting called back. Y'all got to.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Say don't do it. Stay at home.
Oh, this was a Tiffany.
Oh, man.
I don't have this conversation tonight. I need another drink. I need a drink. What you drinking, Z? You got a drink.
You know what?
What?
I didn't even have my drink, so I just had some gum. I mean, it was the only thing I saw, and y'all were talking, and I didn't want to get up, so I just put some gum.
I wish I had gum.
It's like...
I had some fun. Well, I didn't mean for my conversation to become like,
you were talking about how you were going to bring this light and joy and be fabulous.
Let the depression begin.
I was feeling...
Wow.
This was the wrong crew for that. I was feeling better. This was the wrong crew.
Three Black Docs is not intended as medical advice. All opinions are our own. Three Black Docs is produced by Wings Productions.
Like what you hear? Make sure you rate and subscribe. Three Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Karen. Just wanted to wish you a very happy new year. Looking forward to seeing what 2021 has in store.